This is Spin Control, a Fibercraft podcast by A Joyful Girl. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spin Control, episode 149, Fast Forward. In this episode, I've got some knitting and spinning, but primarily we're going to focus on doing a little reset because it's been so long since I've last spoken to you. And of course, we will kick this episode off with some updates. Okay, so last time I recorded, it was January. And I had no idea when I was going to get sinus surgery, whether that was going to happen in January or not, and what, you know, the future kind of held for that. I ran off to Salida for the Fiber Festival for Rock Day with some of my knit friends, and there were three of us. We stayed for the weekend, me, Barb, and Linda. We had a really good time. It was wonderful. And on Sunday, on my way home, the boy called me from snowboarding to let me know that he had fallen and he would likely need surgery to fix his shoulder. It was like a super lame accident, like not even cool snowboarding accident. He literally was stopped on the mountain, looked up to see where his friend was, kind of lost his balance, fell backward, and jammed his shoulder in a way that it tore a bunch of stuff in there. This is what went down with that. I'm on my way home from Salida. He says that's going to happen. I'm not sure if I told you this or not before, but the boy is an operating room nurse. And he actually works for his orthopedic surgeon, which is super convenient. But by that Friday, so less than 7 days later, he was having his shoulder repaired. Yay! And I was trying to figure out if I was going to be able to get my sinuses fixed while he was recovering from surgery. As it turns out, yes, I was able to get my sinuses fixed while the boy was recovering from his surgery. As a matter of fact, less than a week after the boy had his surgery, I had my sinus surgery, and it was not amazing, but it's so much better now. I haven't had a sinus headache in months. You know, and like after all that happened, two surgeries within 2 weeks, yeah, fast forward and here we are. It's April. Not that I haven't been doing anything. I just haven't really been able to set aside time to kind of get back into my recording routine. And that was really what has been holding me back from all of this. Yeah. So a lot has happened. A lot is going to happen. But really, my whole goal for this episode is to kind of reset. Let's get back into the rhythm of recording every 2 weeks, putting out podcast episodes, and keeping you guys apprised of what's going on in the fibery world. That's my goal. So both of us have recovered from surgery. I'm back, like we're both back to our total normal pre-op routines and doing really well. He's still working on a little rehab for his shoulder, but he's doing super, super good. Like he actually had this same exact surgery just about a year previously on the other shoulder. So we knew what we were in for. And actually this time around, it was so much easier on him than the last, and which means it was so much easier on me. But yeah, everything went well and we are back in fighting shape, if you will. And just kind of ready to take on the world, I guess. And that's really all I've got going on in updates. So I guess it's time to get this podcast started. And now it is on to spinning my wheels. All of the weird time that I have experienced during the first quarter of this year has put me in a weird place with spinning. I have a backlog. Not that I haven't been spinning. I've actually been spinning quite a bit. I just have a backlog. I have tons of skeined yarn that is yet to be set. Spun, plied, taken off bobbins, turned into a skein, and now it's ready to be set and dried and turned into usable yarn, like that I can, you know, knit with. Yeah, so I finished spinning and plying the Gotland fleece. I think I ended up with about 10 skeins. The weight of that yarn is much thicker than I anticipated it would be. I don't know why. It just kind of happened. I thought I was going to end up with worsted, which is what I wanted. But I think once it's set, this yarn is definitely going to be an Aran weight to a bulky weight. Not like a bu super bulky weight, but like a just too thick to be worsted weight. Because of that, I also have way less yardage than I was hoping to receive or end up with. Yeah, but I'm happy with it. I got the whole project done. I finished spinning the Gotland, which is very cool. And there's just 10 skeins that I need to finish and set. And then when I went to Salida, I spun like a 4 ounce braid in a day and a half, which is awesome. And it's plied too. But it's still sitting on the bobbin on my Sidekick wheel, ready for me to scan it off and set it. And right now I'm sitting behind my Louette Victoria and I am plying merino bamboo silk that I got from Greenwood Fibers in the colorway Retro Girl. And I've had it in my stash for like a million years, but I got that totally spun up and I'm feeling really good. Like I kind of selected this one to spin because I felt like the combination of the merino bamboo and silk would make for a nice, hearty, warm sock yarn. And I believe that I've actually accomplished a sock weight yarn. I'm pretty pleased with myself. The only mistake I made with this one is a mistake I'm making as we speak because I should have probably plied this on one of my e-spinners because they have way larger bobbins. I'm pretty sure, theoretically, I think I've done it before, I can squeeze 4 ounces of plied yarn onto one of my Louette Victoria bobbins. But it's really not looking like it at this juncture. Like, I didn't confirm, but the band for this braid says it's 4 ounces. When I looked at it, I'm going, is this really only 4 ounces? Because it's a lot. So I've got three bobbins full. They're very small bobbins. They're not totally full. I have three bobbins partially full. They have about 1 1/3 ounce each on them. And I'm plying three plying the singles together. It's just, I'm like, it does not at all look like all of this yarn is going to fit on this bobbin. Maybe the core of the bobbin is thicker than I thought it was. But yeah, so that's my goal, and I'm really hoping that I'm able to squeeze all 4 ounces of this yarn onto one bobbin, and that I end up with just one skein because I don't want to have to divide it because it really just drives me nuts to divide the yarn, especially like into multiple skeins, especially when they aren't the same yardage on each skein. I know that's silly, but that's what I ended up doing with that braid that I spun over the weekend on Salida, is I have a full bobbin and a partial bobbin, and it annoys me like I completely filled one of the bobbins, and then the other one is maybe half. I would have loved to have had them both on, like, had it on one skein. So one of the skeins is going to be bigger than the other one, and that's going to annoy me. It's like a minimal, like, tiniest thing, but it still annoys me. And yeah, so I still have this backlog. And I discovered as I was starting to pack for my next adventure that I have a project that I started on my Daedalus Sparrow that I never actually finished. I'm like, oh, I totally forgot I had started spinning this braid. But I did. I started spinning a braid. I didn't even get, not even like 10% into it. And then forgot that I was working on it because it was like, it was in a travel case. Yeah. So that is going to be my travel spinning project until I get that finished, which hopefully it won't be too long. But I'm pretty excited and pretty pleased. Yeah, so that's what I've had going on in spinning. Oh, one more thing about spinning. So last fall, I got that mystery fleece back from the processor. I had not kept a copy of the paperwork. She lost the paperwork, so I could not for the life of me remember what kind of fleece this was. So what I did was I found the list of fleece from the Fleece Show and Sale published on the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival's website. At the end of every year, they release like the results of the sale, and they will tell you every breed that was entered into the show and sale, and they will tell you how many of them there were and how many there were that sold, which was a great starting point for me that allowed me to determine what kind of fleece I purchased. And I am happy to report that out of probably, it might be like 50 different kinds of fleece, 40, we'll say 40 to 50. I don't have the list in front of me. The 40 different kinds of fleece, oh dang it, now I'm gonna go and I'm gonna go get the list and I'm gonna count it. So I'll be right back. All right, so I got the list and I counted it and I was absolutely wrong. It's 58 different breeds of sheep fleece that were entered into the sale last year, which is awesome, but that just meant I have to narrow this list of 58 down to one and figure out which breed of sheep this huge fleece is from. So this is how I did it. One, I went through the list. Not every fleece breed sold. So obviously, if there was only one and it didn't sell, that wasn't my fleece. So I crossed those off. Then I went through the list and went, okay, I know for a fact I did not buy a California Red, right? I also know that I did not buy a Merino and I did not buy a Rambouillet, so I was able to knock those off. And then I kind of went through all the fleece breeds and went, okay, does this sheep produce this color of fleece? Yes or no? So many of the sheep on this list make white only. And I have a brown fleece, brownish grayish fleece, medium brown, maybe medium brown. So I actually spent quite a bit of time trying to figure out what to call this color. It's a medium brown. Yeah, so any of the sheep that only produce a white fleece got knocked off the list. Any of the sheep that only produce a black fleece or black or white fleece got knocked off the list. So it just started narrowing it down and I just chipped away at the list. Color was an easy way to do it because a lot of them really were white. But then I was left with still, I'd say 15 different breeds that could have possibly produced a brown fleece. But there were other ways from there to figure out which breed this was, right? Okay, so long wools automatically got marked off the list because it's definitely not a long wool. It was easily a medium wool that kind of erred on the side of a finer medium. You know what I mean? With a smaller micron count. But okay, we're not there yet. So long wools gone. Fine wools gone. Ticked off the list. Definitely not them. Then my next clue was size of the animal. So this finished processed fleece is 7.5 pounds. So what? It was probably 10 to 11 pounds before it was processed. Maybe it's anywhere between 9 and 11 pounds. So any fleece that averages like 3 pounds in their fleece size, I knocked them off the list. So I knew it was a large breed with a pretty big fleece in the brown color. And I narrowed it down to two of the remaining breeds that were on this list. After everything was said and done, I'm like, ooh, this could be a Corriedale or this could be a Romeldale. So I started looking more closely at the characteristics of their individual fiber and fleece and determined that the Corriedale is less fine than the Romeldale because the Romeldale is a Romney and Rambouillet crossbreed. So it is definitely a finer fleece than the Corriedale. The Corriedale, don't get me wrong, is an absolutely lovely fleece. And that is what I have. I narrowed down this list of 58 different sheep breeds and determined that this beautiful 7.5 pound fleece I have is Corriedale. And I'm very proud of myself for being able to determine that. And I legitimately cannot wait to start spinning it. It's a lot. That's a lot of yarn, but it's processed, fully processed. Like I don't have to process it before I spin it. So I'm super stoked about spinning it. And I can't wait to tell you about when I start doing that. All right, on to some knitting. There hasn't been a ton of knitting. I feel super privileged though, because I was lucky enough to get to knit the yoke on my pearl code sweater twice. But that's only because I totally screwed it up. Oh, I did some bad math and I got into a rhythm. I ended up doing too many increases on the sleeve side of the raglan. And so I'm like, wait a minute. I've already got enough sleeve stitches, but I don't have enough front or back stitches, which meant that I was just increasing at way too rapid of a rate. So I had to rip the whole thing back and start again and pay closer attention to making sure I was only increasing the sleeve side of the raglan every four rows, not every other. Yeah, so, but I did finish that. Like just this past week, I finished the yoke again. I divided for the sleeves and I started working on the body, which is making me happy. And the body should go pretty quickly because there's no increases to think about or anything like that. And I'm excited and I'm still loving this yarn. I'm making the whole sweater out of all wool balance and I'm absolutely loving it. And I've been talking about this for a while. Now that I have the sock machine, there's no reason for me to be knitting socks, plain Jane socks by hand anymore, even though I love them. But now I can just knit them on the machine. I love self-striping socks. They're so satisfying. And they're even more satisfying on the sock machine. But what I'm going to do, I'm getting ready to start this, is I'm going to do some flashback sock knitting and explore some things that I just never got around to. For example, the first thing I'm going to do is crack into New Pathways for Sock Knitters by Kat Bordy, book one, and just pick a sock architecture and try something new, and that should be pretty cool. That Kat Bordy was just a genius, and I cannot believe the different sock architectures that she explored and put out in the world, and I'm pretty excited. And actually, I got on this kick because my friend Linda was wearing a pair of unique socks. I'm like, what is that pattern? What is happening over the top of your foot there? She's like, oh, this is so and so by Kat Bordy. So I'm like, okay, I have to try this. It was so unique and so interesting that I 100% am going to dive into it. And I've started reading the book. And like, she has like these little baby socks to give you the opportunity to try each of the architectures without committing to like a whole pair of socks. So I think that's what I'm going to do is just get like 100 gram skein of yarn, ball it up, and start working my way through these architectures and pick a favorite and then make a whole pair of socks. So I will keep you posted on how that goes. So I feel like I have done a pretty good job at catching everyone up on what I have been doing in the past 4 months. So I think we have a good, solid reset baseline for recording for the rest of the year. And that's all I got in spinning my wheels. Well, it looks like it is time to spin off this episode of Spin Control. I feel like we are restarting and kickstarting the rest of the year and all of our yarny adventures, and I'm super excited. We are about to kick off fiber festival season and camping season with a trip to Maryland Sheep and Wool next weekend. Can't believe it's like so close. Typically, Maryland Sheep and Wool used to be the same weekend as Mother's Day, but this year it's like a whole week before. But I'm excited. I'm going to go spend a long weekend with my Tanya and run into a bunch of people that I know and love at Maryland Sheep and Wool, and it should present itself as a very good time. And I'm excited and can't wait to do that. And of course, in the very near future, I've got our trip to Estes Park Wool Market and our week-long camping trip in the Rocky Mountain National Forest with the Knit Girls. A bunch of us are going to be up there this year. It should be pretty exciting and pretty adventurous. I'm looking forward to it. And I think it's really cool that I've actually been able to get the boy to start going to this kind of thing with me. It's the camping aspect that gets him out there. So it's really cool and really nice. And I'm really glad we can partake in that. And that really is all I've got going on right now, and I think I've done a pretty good job of resetting us. And I am going to lead this out with a song called Good Old Days by the Revivalists. And as always, you can get the details about this episode and all the past episodes at spincontrolpodcast.com. You can email me at shiloh@foreverhandmade.com, and of course, catch me on Ravelry and Instagram as Forever Handmade. Thanks again, guys. I will talk to you soon. And I mean it this time.
I miss someone. Love is blind, deaf and dumb.
Good.